I want to take you to a place in John 21. Look in your Bibles to John 21. John 21, it's by another body of water here in John 21. Verse 1. And it says, after all these things, you could read everything previous to this in the chapters. It's all about, you know, the week of Jesus' death and crucifixion. All those things that went on. I really want you to read it because we're coming up to that day, aren't we? We're coming up to that day where we celebrate Easter, my favorite holiday. It's the first day of the rest of my spiritual life. I mean, it's like the new day. It's like beginning of my spiritual year is Easter. I love it. It's just really great. And besides, you don't have to buy people presents, although Judy tries to make it like Christmas, you know, because she's the ultimate gift giver. I'm not, it's just about Jesus, you know, celebrating Jesus. I love it. It's so incredible. And here, after all these things, after all the stuff he's been through, after all these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, this is the Sea of Galilee. The town is called Tiberias. So what we're talking about is people. When you see sea in the Bible, he's talking about humanity. And I believe all these things were written for our admonition. It says all these he's written for us. All this is written for us. And what he is doing, he's revealing himself to people, disciples, the ones that love him but failed him miserably. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that doubted him. I mean, he has doubting Thomas in here. He has Peter that denied him three times. I mean, he's got the sons of thunder in here. He's got all you guys rolled up in one identity. This is a sea of humanity of how he chooses to reveal himself. And he could come at this point in any way. I mean, he could come on a chariot if he wanted to. He could have come riding on a white horse. He could have come in any way. He could have come, in a helicopter if he wanted to at this time. I mean, but this, I love this. I mean, I wrote this in my journal the other day. I am full of hope because of John 21. I am full of hope because of John 21. It says, and this is how he showed himself. We're talking about revelation, the revelation that we have of God. The revelation that we have in this hour, the revelation that we've been through all this stuff, all this past stuff. How many have a past? This is how he chooses to reveal himself. This is how he chooses to reveal. We have all these theological ideas of how people reveal Jesus. Have you looked at the periodicals lately on the newsstand? It's all about Jesus. There's three magazines about Jesus. You know, they're still trying to see Jesus, reveal Jesus, and we got it. This is how he wants to show himself. This is how Jesus wants to show himself. And in this way, he showed himself. Oh, it is just so wonderful. It's just so beautiful. Simon Peter was there. Thomas, the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, those are those sons of thunder, and the two others of his disciples were together, just like we are this morning, just like God is all around, and God is changing our mind how we see God, how we see God, isn't he? I'm seeing God like I've never seen him before in this hour. I'm seeing with fresh eyes. You know, with cheap sunglasses. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, my gosh. How many pairs of those sunglasses did you give out, Johnny? Oh, my goodness. That was so much fun. That was so cool. What a day. I love those sunglasses. Oh, he wants to see it through new eyes. He wants us to see everything through new eyes in this hour. Not the eyes of the news and not the eyes of man and not the eyes of criticism and judgment and fear. He wants to see. He shows himself. This is how he shows himself. He says, and Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. He had lost hope, folks. He had lost all hope after he denied Christ, after he had, you know, just disappointed himself and not been the man of God that he said he was going to be. And you know what I mean? Not kept up that fasting thing and that Bible reading marathon and you know, had failed in so many ways. He says, I'm going fishing. Is that what Jesus told him to do? No. Jesus said, I want to make you fishers of men. I want you to go lay hands on the sick. I want you to go and share the good news. That's what he said. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out and share the good news and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. This is what I want you to do. But they're so hopeless. They're so weak. They said, we're going back to what we know. We're going fishing. And they said, we're going with you. I mean, it's such a picture of humanity, of the blind leading the blind, you know, of people being hopeless and following hopeless ideas and hopeless scenarios and hopeless theories and just all this hopelessness, you know. I mean, it's just incredible how it can attract so many people. Hopelessness and fear can attract so many people. I refuse at this age, okay? At this age, to have any other revelation of Jesus Christ but this one. I mean, I am not going to spend the rest of my days with any other revelation but of this God of love. This God who loves us. And then they went out and immediately got in the boat. The picture of the church, you know, together. Rowing together in the journey of life, they got in the boat and immediately they caught nothing. I mean, that's the kind of thing. When you're hopeless and you have nothing to share with those, you're not going to attract anybody to you. I mean, you're just not going to attract. I mean, when you're hopeless, it's just going to be agreement with negativity all the time. I run into it all the time. But when the morning had now come, ooh, this is when I want to sing, morning has broken like the first, you know, who's that? Oh, I love that one. Oh, Cat Stevens. Thank God, you know, there's a morning. There's a dawn. There's a new day dawning. Thank goodness his mercy is new every morning. Thank God I can wake up and read the word and be filled with hope every morning, every morning. I watched it come this morning. I watched that dawn creeping up. You know, I don't know why old people can't sleep late. You know what I mean? My kids could sleep all day long. What is up with that? I don't get that. You know, I'm up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock. You know, I don't even have to be. But I love the dawn. I love the morning. I love to meet with God, you know, in the morning and read the word. I mean, it's just so great. And he says, and in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. Whew. Oh, I love this picture. Jesus stood on the shore. And yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. See, they really had no redemptive revelation of Jesus. It had not come to them yet. No redemptive revelation that he could redeem every situation. There's so many Christians, so many people that have no redemptive revelation of who God is and what he wants to do. You know, the blind's leading the blind out there. What did Albert Einstein said? He says that doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, that's insanity. I'm going fishing. Doug, come on. Oh, and they caught nothing. They caught nothing. It just seems to be really a picture of where we're at even today. It said he stood on the shore and he said to them, children, I love this, children, in some he calls brothers, men, children, but I love this one, children. He sees this as children in need. Have you any food? Whew. You know what he's saying? Have you any hope? I mean, food brings hope. I mean, when you're down, what do you want? Something to eat. You know what I mean? It makes you feel better. Judy's soup. You know, I tell Judy is the most spiritual, prophetic woman I know, okay? And it's not because she's a, you know, can quote Bible scriptures. It's because she knows hospitality. You come to my house, you're going to feel good. You're going to feel good. You're going to have a nice soup and bread, and you're going to feel comfort. You're going to feel welcome. That's the bottom line of the prophetic, New Testament prophetic. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. See, we're all prophetic in the body of Christ. Whether we give a word or give a prophetic word in church or whatever, you can make somebody feel better just by being around them, just by what you're doing. You know, you can be that prophetic people. And Jesus gives them that example. He gives them this example of how he wants to be seen, how he wants to be revealed. And they said, no, no hope. We have no hope. We were hoping that things were going to change, that the system was going to come down, that he was going to come riding in on a white horse and save the day, and you didn't. He didn't come like we thought. He didn't look like we thought. This thing looks like an utter failure. I mean, his strength is made perfect in weakness. It looked like a mess. It looked like it was over, didn't it? And they felt it. Can you imagine their conversation in the boat? And Peter, what about you? You said you were going to die for the guy, you know. And there you are, denying him. And you, Andrew, oh my gosh, a doubting Thomas. How could you ask him that, you know? I mean, these are guys, you know what I mean? You jerk. What's Sandy? Sandy called him schmucks last week, you know what I mean? Can you relate? I mean, I laugh so hard. I mean, this is reality. See, this is reality. He's meeting us in reality, not some reality that we, create. Something that we can't touch, can't feel, can't connect with. This is the reality of life. Disappointment, heartache, failure. This is where he meets us, isn't it, Johnny? I mean, it's incredible. Whew. I love it. I just love it. It's just around us all the time. You just have to put on new sunglasses. You know, really, you have to put on new glasses. You know, in Revelation it says, anoint your eyes with eyes to have what? That you might see. I have prayed that prayer. Lord, anoint my eyes. I want you to pray that prayer when you get alone with God. God, anoint my eyes with eyes to have that I might see. I might see you in this hour the way you want me to see you. Because there's a lot of voices telling you different things of where you need to look. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm lifting my head up and looking to him. Looking to him. And it says, and they said, no. And he said to them, I love this. Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Whew. See, we're looking on the wrong side of things. This is repentance. We have to change our mind about how we're doing things as a church, as a people, as the children of God. We have to change how we look at people groups, how we look at those he loves, how we look at humanity that he died for. We have to change our minds and get out of our critical, judgmental spirits. And if you haven't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything. I mean, this is what he's giving us an example for. He could have made accusation. He could have sunk the boat. He could have done anything, you know. Oh, he could have burned them up. He could have lectured them. What does he do? What does he do right here? It says, so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because the multitude of fishes. Aren't you looking for that? I'm looking for multitudes to come in. I am looking for multitudes to come in. I love your faces. I'm telling you, I love your faces. They are bright and shiny, but I'm looking for new faces. You know, I am so hungry for new faces to hear the revelation of Jesus Christ that we have and the grace of God that they don't understand and the mercy of God. I want to see new faces that are astounded by the goodness of God. Oh, I want to see that. That's what I see, because that's how I came in. I was a fresh face, you know, dirty, but fresh, you know, and it was a whole Jesus movement, and we had a word for it. What was it, Ron? Wow. Wow. You know how many times Sandy said wow last week? I mean, it just sums it all up. this awe of God, this goodness. I mean, I am overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Wow. Sandy wrote something this morning about being sinless and perfect. And I could just write, wow. Wow, this is incredible. This is just so good. See, but we have this wrong picture of God, and it's a terrible picture of God. And we try to draw, you know, this fear of the Lord from the Old Testament, and we drag it, literally, because it's a dead thing, you got to drag it forward, into the New Testament. You better have the fear of the Lord. You know what I mean? I'm going to show, look at Hebrews 12. Go over in Hebrews 12. Oh, this is so great, good. This is a perfect picture. It says, for you have not come to the mountain that may not be touched, that's burned with fire, to blackness and darkness and tempest. Mm-hmm. See, this is a picture of the Old Testament God. This is not the God you're coming to anymore. It says, and the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the words, so that those that heard it begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. That's the Old Testament fear of the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord Moses had. The people of God had. That, you know, I mean, that is the Old Testament. You cannot drag that forward to control and manipulate people out of fear. That's not a good, healthy picture of God. It's over. It is finished. It is finished. It says, for they could not endure that was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot through with an arrow. You go, Doug. Go ahead. You go. You go talk to God for me, okay? You know, Jerry, come on. Hey, not me. You know, you go, Dave. You're the minister. You know, I mean, that's how people are. I, at work, where Judy works, they said, you know, this girl, she really needed a miracle. And Judy said, do you ever think of praying? No, you go for me. You go pray for me. That's what she said. She said, no. She said, you go to church, so you pray. You know, I mean, this is what they're afraid. They're somehow afraid. They have this Old Testament fear of the Lord, that God mad at them and hates them and wants to stone them and kill them. It says, it goes on to say, this is not the God you've come to. It says, and so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembled, shaken in his boots at the presence of God. Is that how you felt this morning? No. His love's all around, coming in waves of mercy and grace and kindness and love. I want everybody to experience that. People that have never experienced that in their whole life, I want them to experience that kind of love. Because they're looking for it. They need it. You know, I was in a bar the other night with Doug. And anyway... It was a birthday party, okay, for my son's daughter. It was a surprise party. What's the name of that place, Doug? We'll give it a plug, you know. it was a tiki bar. And it was down on West 25th. Now, how many of us, I don't drink anymore, okay? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 30-some years of sobriety. Oh, I love it. And I met this girl there who was a friend of Rebecca's mom, daughter of Rebecca's mom, and she didn't drink. She couldn't drink anymore. And we started talking about, you know, and I wanted her to make it. I wanted her to make it out of a revelation of the goodness of God. I mean, I just want people to make it. I know you can go to programs and that's great, but with the revelation of the goodness of God, that's given me the strength. Every day, the strength to stay right with God, to stay, you know, to love God. His goodness, his love, his support. It says, but you have come. This is what you've come to this morning. Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Whew. The heavenly Jerusalem. To an innumerable company of angels. I love that song. Angels. That's what you've come to. No fear. Jesus has made a way where there was no way. To the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, a brand new man, a brand new species of man, perfect by the blood of Jesus. Oh my goodness, this is so incredible. It says, registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, the spirit of just men made perfect. Wow. Wow. This is incredible. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. It's over, folks. The old is over. Don't try to drag it forward to scare your kids or manipulate your neighbors or, you know what I mean, get somebody saved or whatever. It's the goodness of God that brings men to redemption. It's the goodness of God. That's what it is. It says right there, it says to Jesus, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, what? In his blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel, better things. We have it so much better. Let's go back to John 21. It says, so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fishes. Multitude of fishes. And therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Whew. Just sit down and meditate on that for a while. It is the Lord. This is the revelation he wants you to have of him. This is how he decided to show himself. Jesus himself, no man, Jesus himself decided to come. I don't know whether you call this the Second Supper, because we had the Last Supper, the second to Last Supper. I don't know, but I love this part. It is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put off his outer garments, for he had removed it, and he plunged. I'm all in. How many are all in? I'm all in, folks. I'm all into this revelation. I'm telling you, I am all in. How many are you all in? I am all in. All in. No reservation. With this revelation of God, how can you deny? I am all in. You know, all in. That's what I want to preach for the rest of my life. No matter how long or short it's going to be, I want to preach this revelation of Jesus Christ. I think there's a generation out there, there's a people that need to know this, that need to know the goodness of God like never before. Not terror and threatening and warning and you know, all that kind of stuff. I've been through all that stuff. I told you, I've been through that stuff. You know, I mean, I hate to mention my age again. I really do. And I'm not the oldest guy in the room, but I'll be 70 next Saturday. You know? Oh, yeah. Hey, wow. How about that? Wow. And I've been through diving under my desk. You know, how many remember that? Air raid sirens when you were, you know, at St. Angelo Merici School, you know, diving under my desk. Air raid sirens. This is it. It's going to be annihilated. I mean, that's what I grew up with. I grew up with so much fear. I was terrified by the time I was 12. Scared of the dark, scared of God, scared of the devil. I was scared of everybody. I was scared of my mom, you know what I mean? I was full of fear, you know what I mean? But that's the way they wanted to keep you, you know. Standing in line for my polio shot. How many remember that? Whew. There's nothing new under the sun, folks. Come on. He delivered it from all. You know? I mean, all the conspiracy theories. You know, the black helicopters, the rounding up the Christians in the camps, all that kind of stuff. I went back to the land. I went, you know what I mean? I went to Europe. I tried to escape it all. I tried to get away from it all. And I came back to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. He said, it is finished. It is finished. And he plunged into the sea. I'm all in. How many are all in this morning? I am all in. All in. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Doesn't that bring you hope? It brings me hope for my kids, for my friends, for all those people I saw in the bar. It just brings me so much hope when I go to these places. In fact, I kind of like to be around those guys, you know? Just so I could, how can I share my hope with them? How can I share my hope with them? And they soon had come to the land, and they saw a fire of coals. Whew. What a picture of his love, of his care, of his desire. A fire. He's making lunch for them. Breakfast. It's breakfast. He a fire of coals. That's a fire of his love. It's a picture, a prophetic picture of the fire of his love, of his care, of his, he knows what you need when you're hopeless. A fire of love. And on it they're laid fish on it and bread. Already made provision. He's already made provision. That's our declaration. We have a testimony of that declaration by Betty today. We have that testimony of how he's already made provision. You just have to see him as that kind of loving father and generous, generous son. It says, and Jesus said to them, bring me some fish which you have caught. He wants to add what we bring. I love that. He wants to work with us in this thing, doesn't he? Of providing meat, food, bread, all hope. For those that don't understand it or have never seen it. Oh, this is the season for it. I'm telling you, folks, people are no better open than this time right now. Somehow, it's because of the Spirit of God. Their hearts are open. People need redemption. They need hope. And we're the ones that are going to bring it to them. Bring it to them. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fishes, 153. Now, there's so many, you know, ideas of what 153 meant. I'm just kind of amazed they counted them. Somebody took the time to count the fish. So it must mean something. You know what I mean? You read a commentary. But they said this is a representation of all the species that were in this sea at that present time. That's the one I read. So his love encompasses everyone. His love is there for everyone. His provision is there for everyone. They just don't know it yet. They just don't know it yet. They just don't understand that he's not mad. He's made provision. He's made provision for them. They stay away because they're trying to make provision themselves. And Simon Peter, he dragged it and he brought those fishes in. And Jesus says, come, eat breakfast. Phew. That's what he's saying to us this morning. Come. Are you hungry? Are you needy? Do you need hope? Do you need healing? Do you need provision? Do you need faith? Do you need love? Do you need mercy? Do you need grace? Come and eat. Yet none of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? Knowing it that was the Lord. And Jesus took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And now this is the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Whew. We want you to come this morning. Because in the Last Supper, he gave us really a demonstration of this. So we really want you to come. And I purposely set it here a little lower because there's something when we have to stoop down, isn't there? There's something when we kind of have to stoop down. They're at a fire, you know, singing Kumbaya by this time, you know. What a beautiful picture of his love and of his provision. It says Jesus brought all our fancy ideas down to earth. That's what he did. He brought it all down to earth, didn't it? To this simple need. Do you have any bread? Do you have any bread? You know, Jesus told his disciples, he says, I have bread that you know not of. That's what he's really trying to show us. There's a sustenance, there's a way of life that is going to keep you strong, going to keep you healthy, going to keep you spiritually where you need to be. And he's provided it all. And he demonstrated it really with something very simple, the bread of life. He became the bread of life. It says, do you have any bread? It's an everyday reality. Everyday reality. This bread and wine, ordinary substance made incarnate, made special, made holy, made, he became the bread. God is the food. We have the hunger. We have the need. If you're filled with your own way, your own ideas, your own righteousness, your own superiority, your own self-assurance, there is no hunger. You got it all. But if you're hungry this morning, I want you to come hungry. I guess as we ask you to come, I don't know if we have a little music. I forgot to tell Ron that if we had some instrumental music. As you come, you can come and take some bread and take the wine, the juice, and then return to your seats, and then we can take it together. You want to do that? Okay, come as you're ready. Betty, you want to come? And you know, Betty wants to give a testimony this morning as Tim comes to receive the offering. And you know, we've been making a declaration every Sunday about, you know, what we expect God to do, really declaring what God to do out of his love and kindness, and Betty's testimony is fruit of that declaration. So we just want her to share it with us.
First of all, I want to thank Dave and Pastor Dave and Pastor Sandy for giving me this opportunity to share with you. And I'm going to make a very fast, if I can, but I wrote it down so I wouldn't get lost, which I usually do, so bear with me. First of all, I want to say, Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me. Continue your holy work in me until I am finally conformed to your very own image. In your holy name I pray, amen. I have been blessed, so very blessed, and have a heart's desire to share this. Now, y'all know, most of you, I was diagnosed with lung cancer last May. I started treatments first week of June for 5 weeks every day, blessed with no side effects. From the very moment it was confirmed, I had peace beyond understanding. And I think Pastor Sandy was one of the first people that I ever told any of this to. So that support was really wonderful. I can't explain the peace beyond understanding, but I had no doubt I'd be healed by his stripes. On September 16th, the doc called, said there was nothing, no evidence of cancer. I just had my six-month follow-up last week, and there's still no evidence of cancer. Woo-hoo! So thank you, Jesus, and praise God. I told everyone about my awesome God, even strangers. In October, my daughters had a benefit for me, and many friends and spiritual friends helped a lot. We celebrated my new life. That event was one of the best times of my life. I felt God's presence and Holy Spirit in me. Thank you, Lord. This helped me to get my finances together. I'm trying. Now, it's important I tell you this to make this whole thing understandable. I had been fighting with the bank for a modification on my house, even though it was over 4 years, I gave it to God. I believed that whatever happened, it would be okay. The last time they threatened me, I took a what am I doing to make this noise? Oh. Oh, well. Last time they threatened me, I took it to my lawyer. He contacted the bank and told them of my illness. Well, guess what? It was completed after 4 years. I praise God over and over for faith and hope. So blessed and so grateful while gaining my strength back, I kept thinking I was not doing enough to glorify God. I prayed for God's will in my life, not mine. One day I was thinking, Jesus, I cannot think of one thing I need. Please intervene with my family. I trust you, Jesus. Thank you for helping them, as it is already done. I also had the thought, what would I do if ever I got extra cash unexpectedly? But I threw that right out. That happens to other people. And I had already been so blessed. Then my daughter paid me back a large amount she borrowed months ago. I didn't even expect it. A blessing. How could I be so blessed already? Then the next day, I got a check in the mail from Bank America. I don't care if they know I said it or not. A very large check, saying it was overages from the escrow. I suppose from all 4 years, I don't know. But I wanted to make sure it was right, so I got in touch with people. And guess what? It was good. I was blown away. Oh, Heavenly Father, I don't deserve this. Right then, I thought it was for me. Oh, right then and there, I knew it was for me to pay my car off. That's what it was. And now I am totally debt-free, other than my house. The next day, I got a letter from the bank saying they're taking $75 a month off my payments. Praise the Lord, favor, blessings, and so much more. I try to be the best I can be. I'm far from perfect. And every month, there were months it was very hard, but every month I've tithed, and I really and truly believe in it. I believe that without the Lord, without God in our life, we would have nothing. We wouldn't even be here. So anything I do have, and it's even when it was really, really rough and I had to borrow money, I still tried to do the best I could do as far as serving God and being obedient. And I think even if you're just helping out, even if you're just, but going to visit people, whatever your best is, give it all your best, and God will honor that. I believe that. Okay, so now I've lost everything. Giving is with a joyful heart, and it's what I do, never expecting so much. I believe faith and trust is honoring the Lord. Trust Jesus no matter what. Glorify Him. Be the best that you can be. I'm almost done. Okay, by trusting, you win. And by trusting God's will and not mine, I have been given so much to be thankful for and such wisdom. Your blessings are amazing and overwhelming. And when you said the word overwhelming, I was just like right on. I thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you, spiritual family, for always being here for me. And thank you, Dave, again, for this opportunity to share. And I have one small thing I'd like to read that was from Joel Osteen. And it goes with everything he said. Breakout starts in your thinking. Make room for increase. Expect God's favor. Pray bold prayers. Then God will release floods of His goodness that will trust you. That will thrust you. I knew I was going to say that word wrong. Into the extraordinary life you were designed to live. Praise God.